whispered as she brought the bottle back to the kitchen. It's been a while since anyone's cooked for me. Well, that was the idea. He watched her uncork the wine she'd very likely stocked herself in the wine cooler. Is 911 on speed dial?
Yes.
She gave him a glass and a friendly kiss on the cheek.
And thank you.
No, don't thank me until we rule out kitchen fire and food poisoning. Willing to risk both, she sat on a stool, enjoyed her first sip of wine.
Hmm. When's the last time you cooked anything that didn't come out of a can or a box?
Certain smug people smirk at food from cans and boxes.
We do. Shame on us.
He turned his frown back on the garlic bulb. Ah, I'm supposed to peel and slice this garlic.
Okay.
When he just stared at her, she shifted, picked up the knife.
I'll demonstrate the procedure.
She tugged off a clove, held it up, then, setting it on the cutting board, gave it a kind of smack with the flat of the knife. The peel slid off, easy as a stripper's breakaway. Once she'd sliced it, she handed him back the rest of the bulb and the knife.
Got it?
Yeah. More or less, he thought. We had a cook. When I was growing up, we always had a cook.
Never too late to learn. You might even like it.
I don't think that's gonna happen. But I ought to be able to follow a recipe for morons.
I have every faith.
He mimicked her slicing procedure and felt marginally more hopeful when he didn't cut off a finger. I know superior amusement when I'm standing in it.
But it's superior and affectionate amusement. Affectionate enough, I'll teach you a trick.
What trick?
A quick and easy marinade for that chicken.
Fear and loathing of the very idea echoed in his voice. It doesn't say anything about marinade.
It should. Hold on a minute.
Rising, she went to the walk-in pantry. It gave her a jolt, seeing everything mixed up, out of order, jumbled. Then she remembered the police. Saying nothing, she picked up a bottle of liquid margarita mix. I thought we were drinking wine.
And so we are. The chicken's going to drink this.
Where's the tequila? She laughed.
Not this time. Actually, the chicken I use for tortilla soup drinks tequila, but this one just gets the mixer.
She got out a large bag, slid the chicken inside, dumped the liquid in with it, sealed the bag, turned it a few times. That's it?
That's it. That's all.
That part should have been for morons. I could have done that.
Next time you will. It's good on fish, too. Just FYI.
When she sat again, he went back to focusing on slicing garlic, and not his fingers. The police were here today, all day, executing a search warrant. He glanced up.
And you already knew. That they were here, yes. I assumed the search.
Reaching across the island, she brushed her fingers over his wrist.
I'm sorry, Eli.
After they left, I went through a couple of the rooms, put things back together. It started pissing me off again, so I decided to do something else.
Don't worry about any of that. I'll take care of it.
He only shook his head. He intended to do a couple rooms at a time until the house was back to normal. Bluff House and everything in it were his responsibility now. It could have been worse. They could have trashed the place. They were thorough, but I've seen searches before, and they didn't just dump things.
Fine. Points for them. But it's still unfair. It's still wrong.
Unfair and wrong happen every hour, every day.
That's a sad and cynical viewpoint.
Realistic, he corrected.
To hell with that!
Her temper spiked, making her realize it had been in there bubbling all along.
That's just an excuse to do nothing about it.
You have any suggestions on what to do about a duly authorized warrant?
Having to accept it isn't the same as accepting it's just the way life goes. I'm not a lawyer, but I was raised by one, and it's pretty damn clear they had to push the envelope and push it hard to get a search warrant. And it's just as clear that Boston cop did the pushing.
No argument.
He should be sanctioned. You should sue him for harassment. You should be furious.
I was. And I talked to my lawyer. If he doesn't back off, we'll talk about a suit.
Why aren't you still mad?
Jesus, Abra, I'm making chicken from a recipe I got off the internet because going around the house cleaning up cop mess pissed me off all over again. And I needed something to do with the mad. I don't have any more room for the mad.
Looks like I do, and plenty of it. Just don't tell me unfair and wrong is just the way it goes. The system's not supposed to kick people around, and I'm not naive enough to believe it doesn't sometimes do just that, but I'm human enough to wish it didn't. I need some air.
She shoved up, strode to the terrace doors, and out. Considering, Eli set down the knife, absently swiped his hands on the hips of his jeans, and followed.
Not helpful.
She waved a hand at him as she paced around the terrace.
None of that was helpful, I know.
I don't know about that.
It's been stuck in my gut since I heard, even though I put two enormous brownies in there with it.
He knew the classic female reliance on chocolate, though he'd go for the beer instead. How'd you hear about it?
My morning yoga class. One of my students. Gossips her religion. And that's bitchy. I hate being bitchy. Negative vibes,
she added, shaking her arms as if to shake those vibes loose to be carried off by the breeze.
It's just that she's so goddamn self-righteous. So concerned. So full of it. The way she talked, it was like they'd sent in an assault team to pin down the crazed killer, who I have the bad judgment to sleep with. And she acts like she's just worried for the community. And of course for me, as you could smother me in my sleep, or bash my head in, or... Oh, God, Eli.
She stopped short, appalled.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was stupid. Stupid and bitchy and insensitive. Three things I most hate to be. I'm supposed to cheer you up or support you, or both. Instead, I'm snapping and slapping at you and saying horrible and stupid things. I'll stop. Or I'll go and take my crappy mood with me.
Anger and frustration flushed her face, he noted. Horrified apology lived in her eyes. And the breeze from the sea streamed through her hair so the wild curls danced. You know, my family and the friends I have left don't talk about it. I feel them creeping around it like it's a, not an elephant in the room, but a fucking T-Rex. Sometimes I felt it would swallow me whole. But they crept around it, didn't want to talk about it any more than was absolutely necessary.
Don't upset Eli. Don't make him think about it. Don't depress him. It was damn depressing knowing they couldn't or wouldn't tell me how they felt, what they thought, other than...
No, it'll all be fine. We're behind you.
I appreciated knowing they'd stand up for me, but the screaming silence of that T-Rex and what they felt inside almost buried me. They love you,
Abra began.
They were scared for you.
I know it. I didn't just come here because Gran needed someone in the house. I'd already decided I had to get out of my parents' place, find a place I couldn't or hadn't drummed up the energy to do it, but I knew I had to get away from that creeping silence, for myself and for them. She understood exactly. A lot of people had crept around her after Derek had attacked her, afraid to say the wrong thing, afraid to say anything at all.
It's been a terrible ordeal for all of you.
And back again, because today I had to tell them what was going on before they heard about it from somebody else. Sympathy rolled through her again. She hadn't thought of that part.
It was hard to do.
It had to be done. I played it down, so I guess that's the Landon way of handling things. You're the first one who said what you think, what you're feeling, without filters. The first one who doesn't pretend that T-Rex isn't right here, that somebody beat Lindsay's head in. And plenty think it was me.
Thoughts and feelings and the passionate expressing of same were big in my house.
Who'd have guessed? That teased out a wisp of a smile.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I must have used up my quota of restraint today when I didn't knock Heather on her butt.
Tough girl.
I know Tai Chi.
She deliberately rose up on one leg in the crane. I thought that was Kung Fu.
Both are martial arts. So watch it.
I'm not so mad anymore. Me either. She walked to him, linked her arms around his neck.
Let's make a deal.
All right.
thoughts and feelings on the table whenever necessary. And if a dinosaur walks into the room, we won't ignore it.
Like cooking, you're going to be better at it than I am. But I'll give it a shot.
Good enough. We should go back in so I can watch you cook.
Okay. Now that we've set the table, there are some things I should say. He led the way back in. At the island, he picked up a pepper, studied it as he tried to figure out how to cut it.
I'll demonstrate again.
While she topped, cored, sliced, he picked up his wine. Corbett knows I didn't kill Lindsay.
What?
Her head shot up, her hand stilled on the knife.
Did he say that to you?
Yeah. I've got no reason to think he's bullshitting me. He said he read the files, looked at everything, and he knows I didn't kill her.
I've just completely changed my mind about him.
She reached across to take Eli's hand for a moment.
No wonder you weren't as mad as I was.
It lifted something. There's still plenty there, but it lifted some of it. He tried his hand at slicing as he told her what Corbett had said. So, he thinks it's possible, too, that whoever was in the house that night was in the house when Hester fell, and also possible that person shot Duncan. I think it's an angle he'll work. My lawyer would kick my ass, and rightfully, if he knew how I'd talked to Corbett, what I told him.
But sometimes you have to trust.
I don't know about trust, but he's in the best position to find Duncan's killer, and if and when, we're going to get some answers. He set the green pepper aside, picked up the red. Meanwhile, there's someone out there who wants in this house. Someone who's already attacked you and may have hurt my grandmother. There's someone out there who's killed a man. Maybe it's the same person. Maybe it's a partner. Or a competitor.
Competitor?
A lot of people believe Esmeralda's dowry exists. When treasure hunters found the wreck of the Calypso some 30 years ago, they didn't find the dowry. Haven't found it yet, and more have looked. Then again, there's no solid, corroborated evidence the dowry was on the ship when it wrecked on Whiskey Beach, or was ever on it. For all we know, it went down with the family's trusted liaison when the Calypso attacked the Santa Catarina. Or the liaison absconded with the dowry and lived fat and rich in the West Indies.
Absconded? That sounds so classy.
I'm a classy guy, he said, and finished the pepper. Most of it's rumor, and a lot of rumors conflict. But anyone who'd go to the trouble this guy has, who'd kill, is a true believer.
You think he'll try to get back in while you're in the house?
I think he's taking some time, waiting for everything to settle down some. Then, yeah, he's got to get back to it. That's one thing. The other is there are people in the village, people you know, you work for, you give classes to, who, like, what's her name? Are going to believe I did it, or at least wonder. That puts you in the middle of possible harm of certain gossip. I don't want you there.
You can't control what other people say and do, and I think I've already proven I can defend myself in the possible harm category.
He didn't have a gun, or didn't think he needed to use it.
Then.
She nodded. She couldn't deny the idea unnerved her. But she decided long before not to live her life in fear.
Killing me, or both of us for that matter, in our sleep, or when I'm scrubbing the floor, only brings the cops in again. I'd think that would be the last thing he wants. He needs to avoid attention, not only to himself, but to Bluffhouse.
Well, that's logical. I'm looking at the big picture, and he hasn't used a lot of logic so far.
I don't want you hurt.
And I don't want you dealing with anything like you dealt with this morning again, because you're involved with me.
Eyeing him coolly, she took a slow sip of wine. Are you cooking me a farewell dinner, Eli?
I think it's better all around if we take a break.
It's not you, it's me. Is that the next line?
Look, it's because you matter to me. You've got some of your things in the house, and cops pawed through them today. Corbett may believe me, but Wolf doesn't, and he won't stop. He'll do everything he can to discredit you, because it's your statement that takes me out of the equation in Duncan's murder.
He'll do that whether or not I'm with you.
For a moment, she considered how she felt about being protected from harm, from ugly talk. She decided she felt fine about it, even if she didn't intend to allow it.
I appreciate your position. You think you need to protect me, to shield me from harm, from gossip, from police scrutiny. And I find I like being with a man who would try to do that. But the fact is, Eli, I've already been through all of it, and more, once in my life. I'm not going to give up what I want on the chance I may go through some of it again. You matter to me, too.
She lifted her wine as she studied him.
I'd say we're at an impasse on this, except for one thing.
What thing?
It's going to depend on how you answer the question, which is, do you believe women should get equal pay for equal work?
What?
Yes.
Why?
Good. Because this discussion would veer off into another avenue if you'd said no. Do you also believe women have the right of choice?
Jesus. He dragged a hand through his hair. Yes. He saw exactly where she was taking him, and began to work on a rebuttal in his head.
Excellent. That saves a long, heated debate. Rights come with responsibilities. It's my choice how I live my life, who I'm with, who I care for. It's my right to make those choices, and I take the responsibility.
Her eyes narrowed on his face.
I'll go right ahead.
And what?
Raised by a lawyer,
she reminded him.
I can see Mr. Harvard Law thinking through how to make a complicated argument to tangle up all my points. So go ahead. You can even throw out a couple of wherefores. It won't make any difference. My mind's made up.
He shifted gears. Do you understand how much I'll worry? Abra tipped her chin down, and those narrowed eyes went steely. That always works for my mother, he pleaded.
You're not my mother,
she reminded him.
Plus, you don't have mother power. You're stuck with me, Eli. If you cut me loose, it has to be because you don't want me, or you want someone else, or something else. If I walk away, it has to be for the same reasons.
Feelings on the table, he thought. Lindsay didn't matter anymore. But every day I regret I couldn't do anything to stop what happened to her.
She mattered once, and she didn't deserve to die that way. You'd have protected her if you could.
She rose, went to him, slid her arms around his waist.
I'm not Lindsay. You and I are going to look out for each other. We're both smart. We'll figure it out.
He drew her in, stood with his cheek pressed to hers. He wouldn't let anything happen to her. He didn't know how he would keep that unspoken promise to her, to himself, but he'd do whatever he needed to do to keep it. Smart? I'm following a recipe for morons.
It's your first day on the job.
I'm supposed to cube that chicken. What the hell does that mean? She drew back, then moved in again for a long, satisfying kiss.
Once again, I'll demonstrate.
She was in and out of the house. Early classes, cleaning jobs, his included, marketing, private lessons, tarot readings for a birthday party. He barely knew she was there when he was working, yet when she wasn't, he knew it acutely. The energy, he was starting to think like her, of the house seemed to wane without her in it. They walked on the beach. And though he'd firmly decided cooking would never be a form of relaxation for him, he pitched in to help now and then. He had a hard time imagining the house without her, imagining his days, his nights without her. Still, when she urged him to come the next night she worked at the bar, he made excuses. He did want to continue researching the dowry, the ship, he reminded himself. He carried books out to the terrace to read there while he still had enough light, and settled down near the big terracotta pots Abra had planted with purple and yellow pansies. As his grandmother did, he remembered, every spring. They'd take the cool nights, even a frost if they got another, and that was likely, he thought, despite the blessed warm spell they'd enjoyed the last few days. People had flocked to the beach to take advantage. He'd even spotted Vinny through his telescope, riding waves with the same flash and verve he'd had as a teenager. The warm, the flowers, the voices carried on the wind, and the cheerful blue of the sea nearly lulled him into thinking everything was normal and settled and right. It made him wonder what life would be like if all that were true, if he made his home here, did his work here, reclaimed his roots here without the nagging weight still chained around his waist. Abra flitting in and out of the house, filling it with flowers, candles, smiles, with heat and light and a promise he didn't know he could ever make, ever keep. Thoughts and feelings on the table, he remembered. But he didn't know how to describe what he felt with her or for her, wasn't at all sure what to do with those feelings. But he did know he was happier with her than he'd ever been without her, happier than he'd ever believed he could be, despite everything. He thought of her, high heels, short black skirt, snug white shirt, gliding around the noisy bar with her tray. He wouldn't mind a beer, some noise, or seeing her quick smile when he walked in. Then he reminded himself he'd neglected the research over the last couple of days and buckled down to it. Not that he saw what possible use it could be, reading stories, for what else were they but stories of pirates and treasure, of ill-fated lovers and violent death. But the hell of it was the only clear channel he had to real death, and maybe, just maybe, some remote chance of clearing his name. He read for an hour before the light started to go. He rose, wandered to the edge of the terrace to watch the sea and sky blur together, watched a young family, man, woman, two small boys, walk along the surf, with the boys, legs pumping in shorts, dashing into the shallows and out again, quick as crabs. Maybe he'd have that beer after all, take a short break, then put in another hour on the notes he'd taken, both on the legend and on his twisty reality. Gathering everything, he stepped back into the house, then dumped everything to answer the phone. He saw his parents' home number on the readout, and as it always did these days, his heart jumped at the fear his grandmother had fallen again, or worse. Still, he put as much cheer into his voice as possible. Hi!
Hi yourself.
He relaxed again at the easy tone of his mother's voice.
I know it's a little late.
It's not even 9, Mom. And not a school night. He heard the smile in her voice.
Don't put off your homework till Sunday night. How are you, Eli?
Good. I was just reading a book on Esmeralda's dowry.
Yo-ho!
How's Gran and Dad, Tricia?
Everyone's fine. Your Gran's looking more like herself every day. She still tires quicker than I'd like, and I know she has some discomfort, especially after her therapy, but we should all be so tough at her age.
Amen.
She's really looking forward to seeing you for Easter.
He winced. I don't think I can make it.
Oh, Eli.
I don't like leaving the house empty for that long.
You haven't had any more trouble?
No, but I'm right here. If the police have any leads on who broke in, they're not saying. So it's just not smart to leave it empty for a day or two.
Maybe we should lock the place up, hire a guard until they catch whoever's breaking in.
Mom. There's always a Landon at Bluff House.
God, you sound just like your grandmother.
I'm sorry. Really. He knew just how much holiday traditions meant to his mother, and had let her down there too many times already. I needed a place, and she gave it to me. I need to take care of it. She let out a sigh.
All right. You can't come to Boston. We'll come to Whiskey Beach.
What?
There's no reason we can't come there. Hester would love it, and we'll make sure her doctors clear it. Your sister and her family would love it, too. It's past time we had the whole family together for a holiday at Bluff House.
His first reaction had been panic. Now it shifted. She was right. Past time. I hope like hell you don't want me to bake a ham.
I'll take care of that, and whatever else. We'll let Selena hunt eggs. Oh! Remember how you and Tricia used to love doing that? We'll come up Saturday afternoon. This is better. Better than you coming here. I should have thought of it in the first place.
I'm glad you thought of it. Listen, I'd like Abra to come, too.
That would be perfect. Hester especially would want to see her. You know, she calls every couple of days to talk to your gran. We'd love to have her.
Okay, good, because, I'm actually seeing her. There was a pause, long and buzzing.
Seeing?
Yeah.
Oh, Eli. That's wonderful. That's so, so good to hear. We love Abra and—
Mom, it's not like, it's just seeing, you know, seeing.
I'm allowed to be happy. You haven't— it's been a long time since you had someone in your life, and we're especially fond of Abra. I love you, Eli.
Something in the tone had his stomach jittering. I know, I love you, too.
I want you to have your life back. I want you to be happy again. I miss my boy. I miss seeing you happy.
He heard the tears, closed his eyes. I'm getting it back. I feel more myself here than I have in a long time.
Hey, I put on 10 pounds.
When she burst into tears, the panic returned. Mom, don't cry, please.
It's happy. It's just happy. I can't wait to see you for myself. I'm going to go tell your father, Hester, and call Tricia. We'll bring a feast. Don't worry about a thing. Just keep taking care of yourself.
When he hung up, he just stood for a moment, getting his bearings. Ready or not, his family was coming to Bluff House, and his mother's
"don't worry about a thing"
wouldn't cut it. He knew damn well his grandmother would expect Bluff House to shine, and he couldn't dump all that on Abra. He'd figure it out. He had better than a week to figure it out. He'd make a list. Later, he decided. Now, he discovered, he really did want that beer. And he wanted it in a noisy bar. With Abra. So he'd grab a shower, and maybe he'd walk to the village. That way she could drive them both back after her shift. He headed for the steps. Realized he wore a grin. Yeah, he thought. He felt more like himself than he had in a very long time. 16. Abra wound her way through tables, bussing empties, taking orders and checking IDs as the Boston-born band pulled in a hefty share of the college crowd. Following bar policy, she rewarded each party's designated driver, when they had one, with free non-alcoholic drinks through the night. Otherwise, tonight's crowd leaned heavy on beer and wine. She kept her tables happy, casually flirting with guys, complimenting girls on hair or shoes, laughing at jokes, quick conversations with familiar faces. She enjoyed the work, the noise, and the hustle. She liked the people watching, the speculating. The stone-cold sober D.D. from her table of five channeled any desire he might have had for beer into hitting on a nearby table of girls, particularly the milk-skinned redhead. From her reaction, the way the two of them danced, the whispers when the girl group trooped off as a pack for the ladies, Abra figured the D.D. might just get lucky later. She served a round to a pair of couples. She cleaned for one set. And was pleased to see earrings she'd made dangling from both women's earlobes. Boosted, she made her way to the back table and its single occupant. No familiar face here, and not by her gauge a particularly happy one. Anyone who sat alone at the back of a bar nursing tonic and lime didn't project happiness.
"How's it going back here?"
She got a long stare and a tap on the now empty glass in answer.
"Tonic with lime. I'll take care of that. Can I get you anything else? We're famous for our nachos."
When all she got was a shake of the head, she took the empty, tried an easy smile.
"I'll get right back to you."
Thinking the likelihood strong that the tonic and lime would be a lousy tipper, she headed back to the bar. Risky, he thought. Risky coming in here, getting so close to her. But he'd been reasonably sure she hadn't seen him that night in Bluff House. Now, as she looked him right in the eye, without a single flicker of recognition, he could be absolutely sure. And rewards, God knew, took risk. He'd wanted to watch her, to see how she behaved. And he'd hoped Landon would be there, opening up a fresh opportunity to get back into the house. But then he'd hoped the police would take Landon in for questioning. He needed only a small opening to get in, plant the gun, make an anonymous call. Now they'd searched the place, so planting the gun in Bluff House wouldn't work. But there was always another avenue. The woman might be the best route. She could be his way back into Bluff House. He needed to think about that. He had to get back in, finish his search. The dowry was there. He believed it with every fiber of his being. He'd already risked so much, lost so much. No going back, he reminded himself. He'd killed now, and found it a great deal easier than he'd expected. Just the press of a finger on the trigger. Hardly any effort at all. Logically, it would be easier the next time, if a next time proved necessary. In fact, he might enjoy killing Landon. But it had to look like an accident or suicide. Nothing that made the police or the media or anyone question Landon's guilt. Because he knew, without doubt, Eli Landon had killed Lindsay. He could use that, and already imagine forcing Landon to write out a confession before he died, spilling that blue Landon blood as the coward begged for his life. Yes, he found he wanted that more than he'd realized. An eye for an eye, and more. Landon deserved to pay. He deserved to die. Making that happen would be nearly as rich a reward as Esmeralda's dowry. When he saw Eli walk in, the rise of rage nearly choked him. The red-hot haze of it blurred his vision, urged him to reach for the gun holstered at his back, the same gun he'd used to kill Kirby Duncan. He could see, actually see, the bullets punching into the Landon bastard's body, the blood gushing as he fell. His hands trembled with the need to end the man he hated above all else. Accident or suicide? He repeated the words over and over in his head in a struggle to regain control, to calm his killing fury. The effort popped beads of sweat on his forehead as he fought to consider his options. At the bar, Abra waited for her drink orders and chatted with her favorite village character. Short, stocky, with a monk's ring of wispy white hair, Stony Trivet worked on his second beer and a bump of the night. Stony rarely missed a Friday night at the pub. He claimed he liked the music and the pretty girls. He'd be 82 that summer, and he'd spent every year of it, except for a stint in the army in Korea, in Whiskey Beach.
"I'll build you your own yoga studio when you marry me," he told her.
"With a juice bar?"
"If that's what it takes."
"I'm gonna have to think about that, Stony, because it's pretty tempting. Especially since it comes with you."
His weathered map of a face went pink under its permanent tan.
"Ah, now we're talking."
Abra gave him a kiss on his grizzled cheek, then lit up when she saw Eli.
"I didn't expect you to come in."
Stony turned on his stool, gave Eli the hard eye, then it softened.
"Now, that's a Landon if I ever saw one. Are you Hester's grandboy?"
"Yes, sir."
"Stony Trivet, Eli Landon."
Stony shot out a hand.
"I knew your grandpa. You got his eyes. Oh, he had some adventures to get a back a ways. Some long ways."
"Eli, why don't you keep Stony company while I get these drinks served?"
"Sure." Due to the current lack of a stool, Eli leaned on the bar. "Can I buy you a drink?"
"Looks like I've got one here. A belly up, boy, and I'll buy you one, huh? Yeah, you know, your grandpa and I both had our eye on the same girl once upon a time."
He tried to picture his tall, lanky grandfather and this fireplug of a man on adventures and competing for the same woman. A tough picture to mind sketch. "Is that so?"
"Rock solid truth. And then he went off to Boston to school, and I scooped her up. And he got Harvard and Hester, and I got Mary. We agreed we both couldn't have done better. What are you drinking?
I'll have what you're having. Pleased, two of her favorite people were sharing drinks and conversation. Abra snaked her way through to deliver orders. As she moved toward the back, she saw the empty table and the bills tossed on it. Odd, she thought, putting the money on her tray. It looked like her solo had changed his mind about another tonic and lime. At the bar, Eli settled in, snagging a stool when an ass lifted off one, listening to stories. Some he assumed were exaggerated for effect, about his grandfather as a boy and young man.
He rode that motorcycle hell for leather, huh? Gave the locals a fit.
My grandfather, on a motorcycle.
Most usually with the pretty girl in the sidecar.
Eyes twinkling, Stoney slurped through the head of his beer.
I thought he'd win Mary because of that motorcycle. Oh, she loved riding. The best I could offer back then were the handlebars of my bike. We'd have been about 16 then. Used to have the best damn bonfires down on the beach, with Whiskey Eli nipped from his father's cabinet.
Now Eli tried to picture the man he'd been named for, driving a motorcycle with a sidecar and pilfering his own father's liquor supply. Either the image came more naturally, or the beer helped it along.
They throw some big parties at Bluff House,
Stoney told him.
Fancy people would come up from Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and where not. They'd have the house lit up like a Roman candle, with people gliding along the terraces in their white tuxes and evening gowns. Made a hell of a picture,
Stoney said and downed his bump. Yeah. I bet it did. Chinese lanterns, silver candelabras, big urns of tropical flowers, and people in their Gatsby elegance.
Eli, he'd slip out and get one of the servants to bring down food and French champagne. I'm pretty sure his parents knew about it. We'd have our own party on the beach, and Eli, he'd go back and forth between... He was good at that, if you take my meaning. Good at being between, rich and fancy, and every day. First time I saw Hester, he brought her down from a party, and she was in a long white dress. Had a laugh in her, always did. One look at her and I knew Mary was mine. Eli couldn't take his eyes off Hester Hawken.
Even as a kid, I knew they were happy together.
So they were.
Nodding sagely, Stoney banged a hand on the bar, his signal for another round.
You know, Eli and I married our girls within a couple months of each other. I stayed friendly, too. He lent me the money to start my carpentry business. Wouldn't take no when he heard I was going to go to the bank for a loan to get it going.
You've lived here all your life.
I was born here, figuring on dying here in another 20-30 years.
He grinned over the dregs of his beer.
I did a lot of work in Bluff House over the years. Been retired a while, but when Hester got in her head to refit that room up on the second floor for a gym, she brought the plans to me to look over. Well, I'm glad she's doing better. Whiskey Beach isn't the same without her in Bluff House.
It's not. You know the house pretty well.
I'd say as well as those who've lived there. Did some plumbing for 'em on the side. No plumbing license, but I've got handy hands. Always did.
What do you think about Esmeralda's dowry? He snorted.
I think if there ever was such a thing, it's long gone. Oh, don't tell me you're looking for it. If you are, you've got your grandfather's eyes, but not his good sense.
I'm not, but somebody is.
Ah, do tell.
Sometimes, Eli thought, the way to get information was to give it. He did tell. Stoney pulled on his bottom lip and considered.
What the hell could you bury in that basement, huh? The floor's as much stone as dirt. There are better places to hide a treasure if you're hiding it. Not too bright to think it's in the house in the first place. Generations of people living there, servants, workmen like me and my crew. Plenty of us have been over every inch of that place at one time or another, including the servants' passages.
Servants' passages?
Long before your time. Used to be staircases behind the walls and ways for the servants to get up and down without running into family or guests. One of the first things Hester did once they took over the house was to have them closed up. Eli made the mistake of telling her how kids had gotten lost and locked in behind the walls. He made half of it up, I expect. That was his way to a good story. But she put her foot down. I closed them up myself. Me and three I hired on for the job. Well, she didn't close off, she opened up. The breakfast room, another bed and bath on the second floor.
I had no idea.
She was carrying your father when we did the work. Everybody who's lived in Bluff House put their stamp on it, one way or the other. What are you planning?
I haven't thought about it. It's my grandmother's house. Stoney smiled, nodded.
Bring her back home.
That I am planning on. Maybe you could give me a better idea where those passages were?
Can do better!
Stoney picked up a bar napkin, rooted a pencil out of his pocket.
My hands aren't as handy as they once were. Oh, but nothing's wrong with my brain cells or memory.
They closed the place down. Though Stoney outdrank him 2-for-1, Eli was damn glad he wouldn't drive home. And just as glad when Stoney told him he was on foot. "We'll give you a lift," Eli told him.
"No need for that. I barely live a stony's throw from here."
He cackled at his own joke.
"And it looks to me like I've got another landing, I and my girl."
"I don't know if this one can fix my screen door."
Abra tucked her arm through Stoney's.
"I'll take Eli's keys and drive all three of us home."
I didn't bring my car. I figured I'd ride home with you."
"I walked."
Eli frowned down at her high black heels. "In those?"
"No, in these."
She pulled a pair of green Crocs out of her bag.
"And it looks like I'm putting them back on because we're all walking home."
She changed her shoes, zipped into a jacket. When they stepped outside, she took each man by the hand.
"Looks like I won tonight's jackpot. Two handsome men."
Both of whom, she thought as they walked, were just a little bit drunk. Over his objections, they detoured to walk Stoney to the door of his trim little house. The sound of high-pitched barking sounded before they were within 2 yards.
"All right, Prissy, all right!"
The barks turned to excited whines.
"Ah, the old girl's half-blind,"
Stoney said.
"But she's got a hearing. Nobody gets past old Prissy. Yeah. Now you two go on now. Go do what healthy young people ought to be doing on a Friday night."
"I'll see you Tuesday."
Abra kissed his cheek. They strolled away, but waited until the light switched on before veering back toward the shore road. "Tuesday?" Eli asked.
"I clean for him every other Tuesday."
She hitched her bag more securely on her shoulder.
"He and his Mary. I never got to meet her. She died 5 years ago. They had 3 kids, a son and 2 daughters. The son's in Portland, Maine. One of the daughters lives in Seattle. The closest one is in D.C., but they manage to visit him pretty regularly. And there's grandchildren, too. There are 8, and 5 great-grandchildren so far. He can take care of himself, but it doesn't hurt to have somebody right here looking in from time to time."
"So you clean his place every other week?"
"And run errands. He doesn't do much driving anymore. His next-door neighbor has a kid about 10 who's crazy about Stoney, so he rarely gets a day when somebody's not dropping in or calling. I'm fairly crazy about him myself. If I marry him, he's promised to build me my own yoga studio.
I could. Eli considered his carpentry skills. I could have a yoga studio built for you. On a flutter of eyelashes, she tipped her face up to his.
Is that a proposal?
What? She laughed, curled her arm through his.
I should have warned you, Stoney has an impressive capacity for alcohol. He likes to say he was reared on the whiskey of Whiskey Beach.
We were switching off. He bought the first round, so I bought the second. Then he bought a third, and I felt obligated. I don't quite remember how many times I felt obligated. There's an awful lot of fresh air out here.
There is.
She tightened her hold when he weaved a bit.
And gravity, too. This place is lousy with air and gravity. We should get inside. My place is closer.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, except I don't like leaving the house empty. Feels wrong. With a nod, she forgot the shorter walk.
It's good for you to walk in the fresh air and gravity, anyway. I'm glad you came in tonight.
I wasn't going to, but I kept thinking about you. Then there was this whole Easter thing happening.
The Easter bunny came already?
What? No. Now he laughed, the sound rolling down the empty street. He hasn't finished laying the eggs yet.
Eli, the Easter chicken lays the eggs. The bunny hides them.
Whatever. They're doing it at Bluff House this year.
They are?
She glanced at her cottage as they passed, but didn't think she should run in for a quick change of clothes. She might come out and find him curled up, asleep, in the middle of the road. That's what my mother said. They're all coming up on Saturday.
That's great. Hester's able to travel?
She's going to talk to the doctor first, but it looks good for it. Oh, the whole bunch of them. Oh, there's stuff I have to do first. I can't think what it is right now, except I don't have to bake a ham. But you have to come.
I'll drop in, sure. I'd love to see them. Hester especially.
No. While he felt slightly steadier with the sea breeze blowing, Eli had a sudden wicked craving for potato chips, or pretzels, or just about anything that would sop up some of the excess beer in his belly. You have to be there, he continued, for the thing. Easter. I thought I should tell my mother we were seeing each other so it wouldn't be weird. Then it got weird, like I'd won a blue ribbon or something. Then she started crying.
Oh, Eli.
She said happy crying, which I don't get, but women do. He glanced down at her for verification.
Yes, we do.
So it's probably going to be weird, but you have to come anyway. I need to buy stuff and things.
I'll put stuff and things on the list.
Okay. He weaved again. It's not the beer, it's the bumps. My grandfather used to drive a motorcycle with a sidecar. I didn't know that.
Seems like I should have.
I didn't know there used to be servants' passages in the house. There's too much I don't know. Look at it. Bluff House stood silhouetted in starlight, illuminated from within. I've taken it for granted.
I don't think that's true.
Too much of it? I haven't paid attention, especially in the last few years. Too wrapped up in my own stuff. Couldn't seem to roll my way out of it. I need to do better.
Then you will.
He stopped a moment, smiled at her. I'm a little drunk. You look amazing.
I look amazing because you're a little drunk?
No, some of it's just knowing who you are and being good with it, doing what you do, and being happy doing it, and some of it's those sea witch eyes and that sexy mouth with that little mole right there. Lindsay was beautiful. She took your breath away.
A little drunk,
Amra reminded herself. Allowances could be made.
I know.
But she didn't really know who she was and wasn't good with it. She wasn't happy. I didn't make her happy.
Everyone has to make themselves happy first.
Now you remember.
I remember.
He leaned down to kiss her, there in the shadows of the great house, under a sky mad with stars.
I need to sober up some, because I want to make love with you, and I want to be sure I remember that, too.
Then let's make it unforgettable.
The minute they were inside, and he'd punched in the alarm code, he pulled her against him. She welcomed his mouth, his hands, but eased away.
First things first,
she said, drawing him through the house.
What you need is a big glass of water and a couple aspirin. Hydration and hangover anticipation. And I'm going to have a glass of wine so you're not so far ahead of me.
Fair enough.
I really want to tear your clothes off.
He blocked her, shoved her back against the counter.
Just tear them off because I know what's under them. And it drives me crazy.
Looks like we're going to get to the kitchen floor this time.
With his teeth at her throat, she dropped her head back.
Oh, I think it's going to live up to the hype.
Just let me... wait.
Oh, sure. Now it's wait after you've...
wait.
He set her aside, his face stony now. She followed his gaze to the alarm panel.
How did you manage to smudge that up? I'll clean it tomorrow,
she said, reaching for him.
I didn't.
He stepped over, examined the door.
I think the door's been forced. Don't touch anything!
He snapped when she went to him.
Call the police, now!
She dug into her bag, then her hands froze when he pulled a knife out of the block.
Oh God, Eli!
If there's any trouble, you run. You hear me? You go out that door and you run and don't stop until you're safe!
No, and now you wait.
She punched numbers on the phone.
Vinny, it's Abra. Eli and I just got back to Bluff House. We think someone's broken in. We don't know if he's still here. In the kitchen. Yes. Yes. Okay. He's coming,
she told Eli.
He's calling it in on the way. He wants us to stay right where we are. If we see or hear anything, we go out and get gone.
Her heart picked up another speed when she saw Eli's gaze turn toward the basement door.
If you go down there, I go down there.
Ignoring her, he walked to the door. Turned the knob.
It's locked from this side, the way I left it.
Still holding the knife, he walked to the back door, unlocked it, opened it, then crouched.
Fresh marks here. Back door, facing the beach at night, nobody to see. He had to know I wasn't here. How did he know?
He must be watching the house. He must have seen you leave.
On foot,
Eli remembered.
If I'd just been taking a walk, I might have been gone for 10-15 minutes. That's a lot of risk.
He might have followed you, seen you go into the bar. A calculated risk that he'd have more time.
Maybe.
The alarm pad.
Still wary, Abra edged a bit closer.
I've seen that somewhere. TV, movies. I thought it was just made up. Spraying something on the pad so the oil from fingerprints comes up. You know what numbers have been pressed. Then a computer thing runs different patterns until it breaks the code.
Something like that. It's how he might have gotten in before, when my grandmother was here. He could have gotten her keys, made copies, just let himself the fuck in after that. But he didn't know we'd changed the code, so he cut the power the last time when the old code didn't work.
That makes him stupid.
Maybe desperate or panicked. Maybe just pissed off.
You want to go down there, I can see it. You want to know if he started digging again. Vinny will be here any minute.
If he went down and she came with him and anything happened, he'd be responsible. If he went down and she stayed put and anything happened, he'd be responsible. So, Eli concluded, he was stuck.
I was gone about 3 hours. God damn it, I gave him a nice big window.
What are you supposed to do? Pull a Miss Havisham and never leave the house?
The alarm system sure isn't doing any good. We're gonna have to beef that up.
Or something.
She heard the wail of sirens.
That's Finny.
Eli slid the knife back into the block.
Let's go let him in.
Cops swarmed his house. Again. He was getting used to it. He drank coffee and walked the house with them, starting with the basement.
Determined bastard.
Vinny remarked as they studied the trench.
He got another couple feet in. He must have brought in more tools and took them away with him this time.
Eli glanced around to make sure Abra hadn't come down.
I think he's crazy.
Well, he ain't smart.
No, Vinny, I think he's crazy. He'd risk breaking in again to spend a couple hours hacking at this floor? There's nothing here. I talked to Stony Tribbet tonight.
Well, now there's a character.
He is. He also said something that makes clear sense. Why would anyone bury anything here? It's damn hard dirt and rock, or a lot of it is. It's why we never bothered to lay concrete. If you bury something, excluding a body, don't you usually intend to dig it back up at some point?
Most likely.
Then why make it so damn much work? Bury in the garden, plant a fucking bush over it, out front where the ground's softer, where it's mostly sand, or don't bury it at all, but hide it under floorboards, behind a wall. If I'm looking for the damn treasure, I'm not going to use a pick and shovel down here. Or if I'm crazy enough to believe it's here, I'm going to wait until I know the house is empty for a couple days, like it is when my grandmother visits Boston, and I'm going to go at it with a jackhammer.
I'm not going to argue, but this is what it is. I'm going to let Corbett know about this, and we'll increase the patrol. We're going to make noise about the extra patrols, Vinny added. If he's in the area, he'll hear about it. It should give him second thoughts about trying this again.
Eli doubted second thoughts would stop anyone willing to risk so much for a legend. 17. In the morning, Abra returned to Bluff House from her Tai Chi class via the market, then detoured for a secondary stop. She couldn't guarantee Eli's reaction to what she'd picked up, but she had a pretty good idea what it would be, initially. They'd work around it. Or, she admitted, she'd work around him. Not entirely fair, and she really hated to manipulate. But in this case, she firmly believed it was for the best. She gauged her time as she unloaded the car. She had not only her regular cleaning on the slate, but the reordering after the police search. But no reason she couldn't get it all done. Maybe throw a meal together, then get home for her in-house yoga class. It was all about prioritizing. She stepped inside, instantly recalculated everything, as instead of working in his office, Eli stood at the counter pouring coffee.
I thought you'd be working.
I was. Am. I needed a walk around to think through. He trailed off as he turned and looked down at the big brown dog currently sniffing at his pants leg. What's this?
That's Barbie.
Barbie. Seriously? Automatically, he scratched the wide head between the ears.
I know, Barbie's blonde and busty, but dogs don't really get to choose their names.
She watched him out of the corner of her eye as she put groceries away. He'd stopped what he was doing to pet the dog, and had that easy appreciation on his face people who enjoy dogs tend to wear around them. So far, so good. Well, she's pretty. Yeah, you're pretty, he said, rubbing as Barbie murmured in her throat and leaned against him. Your dog sitting?
Not exactly. Barbie's a sweetheart. She's four. Her owner died a couple of weeks ago. The owner's daughter tried to take the dog, but her husband's allergic. There's a grandson, but he lives in an apartment with a no-pet clause. So, poor Barbie lost her best pal and couldn't go with family. She's been fostered for the last week or so while the local organization tries to find her a good home. She's been really well-trained. She's healthy, but she's spayed. But people usually want puppies, so an older dog takes a bit longer to place, especially since they're trying to stick with Whiskey Beach. It's her beach.
Beach dog Barbie? He grinned, crouching as Barbie rolled over to have her belly rubbed.
Nearly there,
Abra calculated.
Beach bitch Barbie would have given you the alliteration and have been accurate. But she's so sweet, it's hard to use the B word. Actually, I thought of taking her myself. I volunteer off and on at the shelter. But with my schedule, I'm just not home enough. It didn't seem fair when she's used to companionship. She's a Chesapeake Bay retriever, with a little something else mixed in. Retrievers love being around people.
Abra closed the last cupboard, smiled.
She really likes you. You like dogs.
Sure, we always had a dog growing up. In fact, I imagine my family will bring... He straightened as if shot out of a rubber band. Wait a minute.
You work at home.
I'm not looking for a dog.
Sometimes the best things you get you weren't looking for, and she comes with a strong plug.